Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
Back to the NutriMedical Report. We have the illustrious, amazing Harley Schlanger and his wisdom of geopolitical analysis. And there's almost a bit of humor here in what's going on here. There's three summits in the last week or so. The G7, the summit between Kim and Trump, and Trump is probably inviting Kim to come to visit Washington, D.C. They could make a movie about it. And then we have the Bilderbergers, and there's still people in the Democratic and the Rhino Republicans machinating over the fact that whether you like Trump's personality or his retreats and whatever, he's succeeding in it's driving people crazy. And there's some people even on the other side, like the progressive Democrats and Bernie Sanders, who are praising Trump now. I mean, what are they going to do now? Is the media just going to commit geomedia, you know, hari-kari suicide? I think so. I think that their audience is shrinking. Their advertisers probably aren't even going to soon advertise on a lot of these networks because the networks are literally trying to destroy themselves because they're just so insane now. And we have to keep Trump on track, though, to make sure he gets good advice, like putting Glass-Steagall, protect the investment of millions of Americans so their money isn't used for speculative economy, which is why you've pointed out numerous times, Harley, that the Chinese banks don't want to get involved in the speculative economy, but if Trump walls it off, like I think you expect he will if you guys keep on communicating with him, Trump's going to do a lot of good things between now and 2020, isn't he?
Well, I think we should start by, there was one other summit that you didn't mention that took place, because when we were just on the air last week, we were watching the breakdown of the G7, G6, G5, G4 maybe.
Yeah.
It's shrinking.
Right.
And at the same time, you had the very successful Trump-Kim Jong-un summit, but there was another summit that took place in Qingdao in China of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And this was largely Xi Jinping, Putin, but also for the first time, India and Pakistan participated. And what the Indians said is that they will not allow themselves to be used as a geopolitical pawn against China and Russia.
Mm.
It was a big breakthrough because the neocons were pushing the idea of the Indo-Pacific region to say that India has to ally itself with Japan, Australia, and the U.S. Well, Japan is one of the countries that backed Trump on the Russia question at the G7 summit. The Japanese don't want to break out of Asia. The Japanese are very excited about developments in Asia. So the best way to look at these three summits is that you had, one, the breaking up of a remnant of the Cold War, the G7. In which it's basically the UK, France, Germany, and Canada, with the Italian Prime Minister, the new Italian Prime Minister, joining with Trump, and Abe somewhat quiet, but acknowledging that he's with Trump on the question of bringing Putin in, bringing the Russians in.
Yeah.
And also, Abe is working very closely with Trump on the North Korea issue. Then we can talk, we should talk much more about the North Korea summit, because that's quite significant.
Yeah, I want to insert a quick comment, though, because I saw the Fox interview of the former conservative prime minister of Canada. He was very much against Trump's idea of bringing Putin in. I would say Putin was previously disruptive. You can't exclude Putin. Even if you don't like him and he's a dictator in his country and he blocked the other guy who was in his opposition, you got to deal with him. Trump knows that you have to deal with people like, you know, Kim Jong-un has killed his relatives. And you still have to deal with these people, just like after the Second World War, we had to deal with the, you know, the Nazi war crime tribunals. You got to deal with them, okay? And you got to work out a way of actually negotiating something that brings peace so that the future doesn't have to depend on the past and the past sins. And so when I was a Canadian Prime Minister, I thought I was very disturbed by his statement of trying to continue to exclude, which is, again, part of the policy of Britain and the British influence over the G7 and the European influence is to always wall off Russia, which increases the risk of trade wars, you know, because now they have new trade alliances with other suppliers, and increasing chances of a future war with Russia where you don't negotiate.
Bill, on the Canadian thing, the current prime minister is a joke, Trudeau.
Right. Obviously.
But his foreign minister is a hardcore Ukrainian-Canadian fascist, Chrystia Freeland. She's from a Ukrainian family. There are reports that her grandfather and her great uncles were part of the Bandera group, the SS units that from Ukraine that joined with the Nazis to kill Romanians, Poles, Russians, and Jews.
Yeah, they were actually worse than even the Nazis in Austria and Germany, where these Ukrainian Nazis were the nastiest pieces of human garbage in the world, weren't they?
So here you have a Canadian prime minister who's supposedly moderate leftist human rights guy, and he's got someone who's allied with the Ukrainian fascists. Now, the Russia issue, I'll go much further than you. Putin is not doing anything illegal in his international policies. He's acting under international law, where the United States under Bush and Obama was carrying out constant violations of international law.
Right.
The Russians were invited by a sovereign government, Syria, to come into Syria to fight terrorism.
Right.
The Syrians never invited the United States because Obama was providing arms to the terrorists.
So, which, by the way, he knew that we're going to go through this very weak fingers to Al-Qaeda and ISIS, etc. And we let it anyway, even though we had intel telling us that these weapons were going through to our potential enemies. But they didn't care because anybody that's against Assad is our ally in some ways. I guess this is what Obama did.
Well, the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, General Michael Flynn, who you may have heard of, was the one who blew the whistle on the U.S. arming the Syrian jihadists.
Which is why they went after him, because they didn't want him blowing the whistle that Trump, before Trump with Obama, that he was actually literally fomenting a situation to make Iran the prescient nuclear power in the area, but also Russia was just coming in on an invitation to try to support Syria, their longtime ally, with their naval base in Latakia, right?
Well, Flynn was fired by Obama, and then when he went to work for Trump, he was the first target of the FBI operation, and we should get to the Inspector General's report later. But let's go back to something that you said, which was significant, about not letting the past shape the future. That was said by both Trump and Kim Jong-un, who said, when all the media is going crazy, how can you talk to him? He's killed people, he's done this, he's done that. I want to remind people about what Yitzhak Rabin said when he shook the hand of Yasser Arafat. He said, you don't make peace with your friends. You make peace with people who in the past were enemies.
Right.
And do that because you hope that they will change. Now, what Trump is doing is he's offering the North Koreans a future of being connected with the rest of the world, including with the Belt and Road Initiative, that North Korea can play an extremely important role geographically between South Korea, Russia, Japan, and China. And that's what that four-minute video that Trump showed Kim Jong-un, and then he showed the press, and the American media went crazy attacking it. You know, the idea that North Korea could become an economic powerhouse through unifying with South Korea, through collaborating with China, Japan, Russia, and the United States, that's something they don't want. They want backward nations that will be rogue nations and as a result develop weapons and give a cause for the United States and the British and NATO to go to war with them.
Right.
So Trump completely overturned the apple cart.
Yeah. Well, this is part of the reason why Kissinger years ago made a statement about Africa, about making sure we can maintain population control so the Africans won't develop an advanced economy with the largest supply of mineral and other resources in the world in Africa. I mean, you can drop the United North America into Africa and it would disappear just in the Sahara Desert. That's how big Africa is.
Well, to go back to this Korea question, Trump saw something which other people didn't see, which is that you could reach them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the thing is, he's the art of not only negotiating, he's the art of bringing peace to enemies. And I think he could write a new book. Maybe he will if he ever gets some free time, maybe after his presidency. But he's written history now, and hopefully with your collaboration and the LaRouche Foundation, he'll then wall off the economy, get Glass-Steagall in, stabilize the banking system so it's not catastrophic.
If you like alkaline water, or
back with more wisdom from Harley. So Harley, there's this Shanghai Cooperation Group meeting that you need to highlight because there's not much discussion in the open media, but not only did Mike Pompeo went after the meeting where he was there with Trump in Singapore to be briefed by the Chinese and of course South Koreans were at that meeting, and now of course you mentioned before the break that there's an openness that India is not going to be manipulated to be a pawn of the West in a dialectic, if you want to call it, trade blockade against China, etc. They want to have some more freedom for this Belt and Road project, which will not only prosper China, but also Thailand, Vietnam, all the Asian countries will start benefiting from this. It's not just a, quote, a Chinese-only thing. We need to start to protecting our intellectual property and the other things. Those are pretty straightforward things to fix. Xi's already said he's going to promise to do that because he asked Trump for a favor on ZTE. Tell us about this meeting. What did it mean, and where is it going?
The original cause of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization was counterterrorism. The Chinese and the Russians were both facing a serious problem of Islamic terrorism coming out of places like Chechnya, Sichuan province, coordinated through Afghanistan, and also from Iraq and Syria. So the Shanghai Cooperation Organization brought together the countries of the Caucasus region, the Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, with China, with Russia. The India-Pakistan question was a big one because the British have always manipulated the Indians using Pakistan.
Right.
Pakistan has been allied with China. India's had an alliance with Russia. But now that China and Russia are very closely allied, what's happening is that the Indian Prime Minister went to meet with Xi Jinping at a two-day meeting with him, and he said, look, we still have some reservations about this China-Pakistan corridor that's part of the Belt and Road Initiative. However, we're prepared to work with Pakistan now, work with India. And what Xi Jinping proposed to them is that Pakistan and India join with China to help develop Afghanistan to make it a bulwark against ISIS and the Taliban. And the Afghan president was at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization meeting praising the initiative. And Modi of India said he agrees with this. So what you have now is a security cooperation and trade cooperation of Asian nations. Japan is not part of it, but they will be soon. Because what's happening is that the rapprochement that Xi Jinping had with Modi, we now have Putin and Abe working closely together, the Japanese Prime Minister. And Trump is actually pulling all of them together. And this is what's really interesting.
It's amazing, isn't it?
The Asia pivot of Obama was meant to stunt Asian growth, take away Asian nations' sovereignty and make them dependent on the trade rules of Europe and the United States as free trading nations under a corporate cartel arrangement where there's no national sovereignty. Trump broke with that when he first became president. He pulled the United States out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But he said he still wanted to keep the United States in Asia. Now, what Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership was an anti-China move. But you can't be against China. China's our biggest trade partner there. It still is. So what Trump has recognized is we're moving into what you might call the Asian century. Now, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization started with Putin getting the friendship award from Xi Jinping. And Xi Jinping said, "Putin is my best friend."
And that's kind of something you'd never expect, would you?
Well, what's interesting is that Trump says Xi Jinping is a great friend of his also. And then you have Trump, completely out of the blue, seemingly, blowing up the G7 conference, not just over trade, but over the Russia question. And this came up in an interesting way. The Germans and others said, well, until Russia does something about Crimea. And Trump said, look, you're not going to get Crimea back for Ukraine. And he said, I don't know why you don't get this. Everyone in Crimea speaks Russian.
They're Russians.
Russian.
95% of the population is Russian.
Yeah.
And the people in Crimea asked them to come in because the Western Ukrainians were supported by the Americans trying to do an Orange Revolution. They were trying to crush the Crimeans, who were just another population of Russians, just like in Eastern Ukraine, like the Donbass kids and so on. They're being shelled by the Western Ukrainians, which are basically the descendants of these really crazy Nazis. People don't understand this, do they? So what Russia did with Crimea wasn't illegal or immoral. These are Russians who are literally, people don't understand, a few hundred years ago, Kiev was the capital of former Russia, wasn't it?
Well, and Bill, Crimea was part of Russia until 1956 when the communists, Khrushchev, gave it back to Ukraine.
Right.
So, and they did have a vote, for Christ's sake. I mean, it was a vote. Why do we not allow votes to have an impact?
Well, they voted actually to be part of, they're still not part of Russia, but they're an independent territory that's no longer under the boot of Western Ukraine and Kiev, because these people in Kiev are actually acting as proxies of the globalists. And the same as Western Ukraine, which has most of the large factories and the place where they made the Sarmat missile systems, called the Satan missile system. People don't realize some of these areas are purely Russian. The majority of the population speak Russian.
The important thing is that Trump is looking at a different geographical approach.
Right.
He's, instead of the old geopolitics, which says you have to break up East and West, you have to have confrontation between East, West, and North and South, Trump is saying it's in our national interest not to have wars. He had this exchange with the press today, and they were saying, well, why did you do this with Kim? Why did you embrace him? And Trump said, because I don't want a nuclear bomb hitting your house and your family.
Yeah, well, for example, he canceled at least on spec, we're hoping that the things will continue moving positive with South Korea, because there's no need for a war game if all the things that were promised start to happen in the next 6 to 11 months, because if they don't, obviously you can reinstate the war games pretty easily. But it basically is putting a card on the table to not only North Korea but Russia and China to say, hey, I'm willing to deal. I'm willing to make a deal not only with North Korea but also with China, with ZTE and trade and intellectual property with Russia to reinvigorate the economy. So the Russians they're starving to death. The most expensive city in the world to live is Moscow, because what we've done to Russia, it's obscene, isn't it?
Bill, it's a completely changed strategic environment.
Exactly.
The Italians are showing, and when we come back after the break, I'll tell you about what's happening with the immigration question that could bring down the Merkel government this next week. And the EU is in big trouble because the Italians are going with Glass-Steagall, a national investment bank, and major infrastructure projects.
I think they're going to start reprinting the lira. I think that the Italians are fed up with the financial controls of Brussels and Strasbourg. I think they're not going to put up with any more BS from them. And they now are looking to the East and to America for leadership on this, aren't they?
Yeah, and Trump invited Conte to come to Washington.
Yeah, exactly. So, bye-bye, European super state. Hello, Italy, Hungary, and Austria, all leaving.
9.
This is a very positive development. It means the Trump effect may last long after Trump is gone after 2024, when he's finished his second term. Well, I'm hoping that Trumpian style will change not only the Republicans, but also the Democratic Party. For example, Bernie Sanders really praised Trump, as well as the progressives within the uber-left part of the Democrats. This is kind of shocking, and I'm sure there's a number of European countries that are looking at what happened in Italy and saying, we should do this.
Well, Phil, there are so many ironic developments. Let me go through a couple of them.
Yeah.
On the international strategic arena, the head of security of the Israeli government, who's a Likud member, praised what Trump did with Kim Jong-un and said, maybe this is the solution to Iran rather than having a war.
Right.
And, of course, Trump dropped some hints in Korea that there could be some new developments in Iran. So just keep your seatbelts fastened on that one.
Yeah, by the way, the natural nature of Iranians, despite the fact that there's some extreme Muslim mullahs pushing for, quote, a hatred, death to America, death to Israel. In fact, if you go through the ancient history, there's ancient ties between Iran and Israel. And a lot of 85% of the people in Iran are under 30 years of age. They're sick with this. Just like this new young leader in Saudi Arabia in his 30s, he said, look, we want to go back before the 1970s when Saudi Arabia wasn't so extreme with Wahhabism. He knows that the Wahhabism was manipulated. People don't realize Wahhabism didn't originate in Saudi Arabia. It originated in Londonistan in the 1920s. People don't get that, do they? It was the press and their agencies.
Wahhabi, who was the founder of the Wahhabite religion, was a Saudi, or was an Arabian. He lived in the Arabian Peninsula.
Right.
But his religious theology was turned into a religious belief structure at Oxford University.
Exactly. And then the British actually projected it into Saudi Arabia by projecting that power through the Saud family. There are 18 different families in Saudi Arabia. And they want to have this British version of Islam projected and make it more extreme even since the 1970s, which is to the purpose of the globalists want balkanization of the Middle East so they can maintain conflict. They don't want solutions.
Now, let me go through these other ironies, because the Italian situation, you have the Italians and the Austrians who said they both want Russia brought back into things. They want the sanctions removed. And the Austrians take over for the next 6 months as the president of the European Union.
Oh, really?
Now, here's the other thing that happened. A boatload of refugees was coming to Italy. And so the new government, as a symbolic gesture, protesting the fact that the European Union has no policy on immigration, they rejected the boat being allowed to land. And the Spanish government, in coordination with Italy, accepted the refugees. There were a couple hundred refugees there. The French denounced the Italians. So the Italians denounced the French. They said, well, why didn't you take the refugees? You don't take any refugees, because the French have shut down the refugees coming into France. So Macron invited Conte, the Italian prime minister, to come to France, and he went there today. They had some meetings. But in the meantime, the Italians, the Austrians, and the security minister of the German government, Seehofer, who's the former head of Bavaria, and he's the Christian Social Union, which is the conservative branch of the Christian Democratic Party, in other words, Merkel's branch. What Seehofer said is that Merkel's policy is unacceptable.
Right.
And so he met on a phone call with Kurz, who's the Austrian chancellor, with Conte, who's the Italian prime minister, and himself, and said, we've got to come up with a real strategy for immigration. And the Italians have this new vice minister of economics who said, look, here's the solution. Let's work with China to rebuild northern Africa, where most of these refugees come from. And the message should be, don't risk dying of thirst crossing the Sahara or drowning in the Mediterranean. Work with us to build your country. Now, what happened is that Merkel came up with a plan, which is essentially putting concentration camps in North Africa to prevent the refugees from coming to Europe, but putting them in relocation centers, they call them.
Whoa.
Now, if that isn't another irony, the Germans proposing something like that, but mm-hmm. the French were up with it. So now you have a big split in Merkel's coalition, which could come down.
Now, she might lose control of the government because she has an alliance, but even inside her own party, she's not long for this geopolitical world, is she?
No, the CSU is worried about the super right-wing AfD, the AfD. So there's going to be a change in Germany. Now look at the United States. You mentioned this before. Bernie Sanders came out with an honest statement saying that he has to support what Trump did because it's certainly better than war.
Right.
14 progressives led by Kana of California, Grijalva from New Mexico, I think. He's actually from Illinois. But 14 of the most left Democrats sent out a letter critical of Schumer, because Schumer was saying, you shouldn't meet with Kim Jong-un, he's not trustworthy, he's a killer, and you can't make concessions to him. Now, what the progressive Democrats said is, Schumer, you were attacking Trump a year ago, saying that by being tough and demanding unilateral disarmament, that he was threatening nuclear war. Now that Trump is talking with them, you're demanding unilateral disarmament and giving up sovereignty of North Korea. That's not going to work.
No.
And so now,
well, what the Schumer was trying to do is set up a plan that was not only not doable, but would cause more catastrophe and more unlikelihood of this actually to unwind properly, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Now, who was working with Schumer on this? People like Van Hollen of Maryland, Ben Cardin, who's the leading anti-Putin Democrat in the Senate. But who else? Lindsey Graham.
Oh.
Marco Rubio. You have Republicans who are saying that Trump should not be doing this. Now, here's an interesting one. There's a guy named Victor Cha, who is one of the leading Bush people on Korea. And Trump brought him in, and he left the Trump administration because he said Trump was being too provocative against North Korea. Now, he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times the other day saying, look, I'm not a big fan of Trump, but he did the right thing. His approach was right. And he immediately got attacked by Bill Kristol, conservative.
He's a bad guy, isn't he? Really bad.
Oh, Crystal's terrible. These are the neocons. These are the people who not only supported the Iraq war based on lies, but still say today, after all the catastrophe that came because of the Iraq war, they still say it's the right thing to do. People
like change their name from neocon to neo-war. Always war.
Yeah.
Always war. I mean, they don't want to ever resolve any conflict.
Well, now here's the other part. These are the people who are attacking Trump on the trade policy. Now, you have all the Republicans who are free traders. You have Bob Corker from Tennessee. You have I can't remember his name now, the Pennsylvania senator who's a hardcore free trader Republican. These are people who are opposed to what Trump is trying to do to get fair trade, to break the policy of the banks and the insurance companies and the global cartels and make trade once again in the interests of individual nations based on mutual benefit. That's what Trump is trying to do. He's not trying to put tariffs up on everything. He's using tariffs as a weapon to force a discussion about what is the honest basis of trade.
Right.
And the Republicans, because they're many of these Republicans are free traders. They're opposing Trump, and they're working with Schumer and others who, remember, Schumer was very close to Hillary. Hillary said Trans-Pacific Partnership was the golden, the gold standard for trade policy.
Yeah, I know, and that was excluding China. How crazy.
So you have Democrats and Republicans siding against Trump on trade.
Even though some of them say they're free traders. We are live. Okay, that's good. So let's continue, Harley. I guess we're live. We had a good discussion there. So please continue.
Well, the main point I want to make tonight is that people who have been in despair, thinking that Trump is sold out, Trump is finished, what Trump is trying to do, and he does it imperfectly, he doesn't do it the way I would do it or Lyndon LaRouche would do it, but in his own way, he's looking at the world and seeing that there is a diverging path. And, you know, the famous Robert Frost poem, Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood, and sorry, I could travel both.
Yeah.
Well, if you stick with the path of the British, the Wall Street bankers, the globalists in France and Germany, you're going to have an economic crash or a world war.
Right.
That's a guarantee.
Or both.
Yeah, and they're driving each other. So that's one path Trump has decided he's not going to take. Now, he hasn't fully figured out what the other path is economically. He knows it's not through free trade, as defined by the globalists.
Right.
He knows it's not through the climate fakery of the Paris conference.
Right.
He knows it's not through the sanctions policies against every country, even though he's using sanctions. But he realizes that you have to negotiate. You have to sit down with Xi Jinping. You have to sit with Putin. So let me finish the point. So there are two diverging pathways. Now, one of them is going into constant economic crisis. That's the transatlantic pathway.
Right.
The other one is showing incredible signs of not just dynamism, but recruiting other countries, one after another, to it. And these will leave the West behind if we stick to the old paradigm. So Trump is smart enough to realize that we have to change our direction. Now, what my organization, what the LaRouche organization has done, what the Schiller Institute, which we created precisely as a basis for dialogue, what we've done is that we've drafted a series of proposals for economic policy, for development policy, infrastructure, over the last 40 years, the whole thing on what could be done to develop the Ganges Brahmaputra Basin in India, connecting the great cities of Africa with high-speed rail, the transoceanic rail system between Brazil and Peru that crosses the South American continent, the high-speed rail and Trans-Pacific Highway that would go from Alaska down to the tip of Chile and connect all of North and South America. We've had conferences on this, the Kra Canal in Thailand.
Right. And now, you mentioned also the fact that we could literally get on a train, let's say, in New York, and go right across the Alaska all the way through Russia, all the way through and end up in London, England, whatever, crossing an ocean. It literally transit the entire world. And that's possible.
Like the Bering Strait Tunnel.
Right, the Trans-Siberian Pathway, which is another way of increasing trade. And the recycling of every object in the world so you don't have pollution like more plastic in the ocean than fish. or, right? All these things.
So what we've done is that we've put these programs forward. We've had hundreds of conferences. I've spoken at many of them.
Right.
And what's happened is that we've recruited key people in virtually every country. I just had an article that was printed in Sergei Lavrov's foreign policy think tank in Russia.
Right.
Article that I wrote. We're having a conference in Frankfurt in a couple of weeks, which will include people from Russia, China, from all over Europe, from the United States. We had a conference last weekend in New York City where a top Russian diplomat spoke, a Chinese official spoke. We had people from the Middle East, people from Africa. We're pulling together a global coalition for growth, for real economic development based on the principles of the American system. And our ideas have helped to shape what's being done in China. The person who spoke from China, who's the head of the Silk Road Academic Committee at the university in Beijing, said, "We've learned a lot," meaning the Chinese, "we've learned a lot from the Schiller Institute and Helga Zeppler Rusch."
Right.
So here's someone on the inside of the Chinese government think tank that's shaping the Belt and Road Initiative, praising my organization as the leader in the ideas that are now incorporated in this project. So I just want to make sure I can appeal to your listeners, people who, I've been getting some emails from people who say they appreciate what I say, they're very happy you have me on, and it's all very nice to hear. But I would encourage people, go to our two websites, the LaRouchePact.com and the Schiller Institute website, and read our studies.
What is the Schiller Institute website? Because I know we have LaRouchePact and LaRouchePub.com. What's the Schiller website link?
The Schiller Institute website is now, it's a long name, but it's newparadigm.schillerinstitute.com. And Schiller is S-H-I-L-L-E-R. So newparadigm.schillerinstitute.com.
This is where we have
there's a weekly webcast I do with Mrs. LaRouche in English that's up there every single week with a full briefing. I did an interview last week with a man named Marco Zani, who's an insider in the Italian coalition government.
Right.
So we're shaping this. Now, to the extent that Trump is moving in this direction, and I don't say we're giving him the ideas. Trump has his own ways of reaching out and finding out what is out there. He's actually a very highly gifted, intuitive person.
Right. Well, in other words, listen, there's a number of opinions. When he sees opinions like yours that make sense, he moves toward it, which is what he's doing.
And I think he should study a little bit more, but that's okay. He's been under an assault, and so many people gave up on him because they said, well, he's not doing what we want. And they ignore the fact that, as the Inspector General's report just came out and showed, the FBI was in a full-blown conspiracy to prevent his election, and then to prevent him from serving, from being inaugurated, and then to impeach him.
Right.
This is the significance of what Comey was doing, what Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were doing.
It's what Mueller's doing. It's just basically an impeachment thing. That's why you should never talk to Mueller, because these manipulated people will say, even if he shades it differently in answer to a question, they'll say he's obstructing justice. And they use it as grounds, even if Mueller doesn't do anything, and they had a blue wave in the Congress, they'll try to use it as grounds for impeachment.
Well, these disgusting criminals just locked up Paul Manafort today. Because they claim that he was doing witness tampering based on the fact that the real witness tampering is being done by Mueller. He's the one who's threatening people that if you don't tell what we want, we're going to bankrupt you and end up putting...
Look at Flynn, his son. His son was bankrupted. Flynn's son was bankrupted by the actions of Mueller and his team of thugs. Litigious thugs. See, this is the worst side of the American injustice system. I saw it in malpractice. 85% of malpractice suits are frivolous, vicious, and not based on facts or evidence. That's
the
reality.
And this is the real witness tampering. So
Right. You
take a guy like Manafort, who actually was advising Yanukovych not to break with the West, but to see Ukraine as a bridge between East and West. And they paint him as a nefarious undercover operative for Putin, who is trying to force Yanukovych to break with the European Union. And just like Michael Flynn, the two people who have been most brutally attacked by Mueller are Flynn and Manafort.
Right.
Because they know from the inside the corruption of this deep state.
Right.
And now they're going after Roger Stone in the same way, someone else who's been exposing week by week this deep state operation.
Yeah, we've had Roger on the program and done even videos of him over on Vimeo. I think it's disgusting that our government permits this. They need to shut down Mueller. Mueller himself probably needs to wear an orange jumpsuit. He's a criminal. And we need to shut down this idea. And if they don't clean the swamp completely, whether it's during Trump, where they try to paralyze his first or second term, which I think he will get, or we have a post-Trump return of the swamp, America and the world is doomed. So we need to clean up the swamp completely so it doesn't come back. It's like cleaning your pool so it's not full of fungus in 2 weeks. So we have a choice. That choice is support cleaning the swamp and getting rid of all these swamp monsters, both Republican and Democrat.
Well, people should go to our websites, rougepack.com in particular.
Absolutely. Thank you. Amazing show today. Harley.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.